Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the birdies that are really just tiny robots. Tiny robots in our minds eating away our souls. Good morning to the worms churning through the wretched earth, uncovering our despair, going nowhere. Good morning to the deer, the elk, and the pig. Good morning to the hawk, and the possum, and the squirrel. It is April the 17th. It is Thursday. It is 7:30 a.m. on the Olympic Peninsula in the year 2025. It is. And you can say good morning to the fishes and the plants. You could say good day, sir, to the great glowing orb in the sky. You can do what you want, baby, because it is. It's April the 17th. It's Thursday. It's 7:30 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula in this year 2025, which is still in so many ways Bo Blimp Doc. Sometimes we all feel like one-armed Merle. Sometimes we feel like one-armed Merle from, you know, season 3 of The Walking Dead. Sometimes we feel like we work for the governor. Sometimes we feel like we work for Rick. Sometimes Michonne tells us what to do. Sometimes we feel like one-armed Merle. We never get the girl. We never get the swirl. We never get the magic. Friday Night Tempo. We feel like one-armed Merle with our knife in one hand, and the other hand is now a knife, so we're two-knife Merle. We have a gun in one hand, but our other hand is a knife. We're one-armed Merle, and we never get the girl. It's pretty sad. So I have a fortune to reveal to you. It is the truth of the universe fortune. I will crack it open. And we will see what is inside. But it's entirely possible. Okay, in fact, you know what? There we go. It's not empty. Good. I thought it might be empty. I've been thinking about my luck lately, and it seems like an empty fortune cookie would be the truth of it. But this is coming from, you know, the A&W Tendy style, you know, barbecue beef Chinese restaurant in Port Angeles, and here's my fortune. Your best medicine in the next month is a dose of sunshine. Holy fuck. I believe the devil bought Tendies because some of these... My best medicine is a dose of sunshine. My best medicine is a little sun. A little dose of sunlight will be my best medicine. Get me out in the sun. Take away the gray marks. Give me the vitamin D of the ancient sea. I'll feel the glee of the green tree and the red rose. Everything that grows needs some fucking sunlight. Every fucking damn thing. Yeah, that's a weird fucking quote given the topic that's going to come up today, but whatever. So, I don't have a lot of money, and I watch some of my media for free, and every once in a while you're forced to get a commercial. It's kind of like old-style television streaming. It didn't really change. You get commercials. And this one particular commercial that shows up for Amazon luxury brands, it looks like a kind of weird pictorial allegory. It's kind of like, imagine you had to depict a moment, maybe, let's say, 80,000 years ago. Maybe it was 75,000 years ago. But imagine you had to pick a moment, the very last moment Neanderthal and Homo sapiens lived together on the great green world, eating the fishy, eating the deary. Imagine that last day before the Homo sapiens figured out that, you know what, we could just assume eat them is to do other things, and we'll do other things and we'll eat them, and we haven't really whatever yet, but we'll let whoever sort things out. Anyways, that's what the picture, the little piece of that advertisement tells me. And you don't have to guess which is which. In my opinion, there's a purpose to this. It is the same purpose. It's divide and conquer. And the truth is, no matter the color of your skin, you're probably the Neanderthal right now. That's the truth. The truth is, this is the last glowing glimmer of those moments where maybe if people could shake away the fog, and shake away the madness and just say, I reject you. I reject you. I reject you, Satan. I reject your lies. If we could just reject all this falsehood, maybe we'd have a fighting chance. But instead, it feels more like 70 or 75,000 years ago. And no matter the color of your skin, no matter your race, religion, especially if you listen to me and you're not fake, chances are you're just another ordinary schlub that makes up most of the ordinary people on this planet, wherever you live, and all of us collectively, in a sense, are being treated like the Neanderthal right now. Anyways, you take it as you will, Mr. and Mrs. America. I have bitched about this before. I have, but I'm going to bitch about it again, and I'm going to, especially given my Tendy-style A&W beef barbecue sandwich Chinese-style restaurant fortune, your best medicine in the next month is a dose of sunshine. Well, let's talk about that, motherfucker. When I was a kid, I remember the most beautiful blue skies. I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. We had beautiful blue skies. We had puffy white clouds. We had all that stuff. The puffy white clouds would accompany the beautiful blue skies, accentuate and embrace them. Often there would be a breeze or a light wind, especially in the springtime, and you would see the life of Skagit Valley turn on, the tulip fields dance, the blue and white and red and yellow and green. It's quite a scene. In recent years, I've come to believe that I am insane, because I remember the skies and the wind and the puffy white clouds that rolled on in. You know, there was a musical named after that once. I remember the pickup trucks after the first few weeks of late spring or early summer, how caked the windshields were with all kinds of bugs, all kinds of insects, flying creatures, dried remains of Earth's natural bounty. Men, women, kids would spend their time at the gas station, all their energy trying to scrape those things off, all those corpses. Everywhere you walked in the spring and summer, and through the fall was filled with life, every foot, every step, every stream. The forests were noisy and green year-round, even in winter. No one worried about gathering the debris of the forest to prevent fires. You know why? Because there was a, you know, microbiome. There were little critters back then that actually took care of that problem, but they went away. And the beetle you see is the wrecking crew. But I remember these things, so I'm probably crazy. My dad was a logger. I worked for him up in the woods setting chokers during high school. This was the 1980s. And we had fire season back in the 1980s. This meant waking up at 2 a.m. to finish work by 11 a.m. It never meant it will be so hard to breathe for several weeks that you feel like everyone's going to drop dead. It was never like the summer of 2018 when Sky King went mad. That's what everybody said. The air in Western Washington was hard to breathe. For a couple months, the skies were brown and orange and ghastly. This was happening around the Arctic Circle, Canada, Siberia, up and down the West Coast, from Alaska to Mexico. Whatever happened during the summer of 2018, it wasn't fucking fire season. It wasn't because humans didn't clear out the brush. But I'm mad. I have worms in my brain. I am going insane from too little cocaine. I remember the seashores of the Puget Sound during the summertime, like rainbows underwater. So much life, so much variety of living things, so many colors. The Puget Sound a long time ago. I remember winters that would get cool in a gradual kind of way. Winters that were cooler first, preceded by autumns where you could see the death of life as a preparation for springs to come. Now winters unfold in micro springs and nature sings by accident or it dies. Am I mad? Do I lie? Why do I see so many mosquitoes near the snow line? Here, near the Olympic Mountains in February of 2024. Why did I see all that stuff? Why did I see frogs croaking in January last year? That was weird. On the Olympic Peninsula near the snow line. The heart of winter. But I think it's because I'm insane. I didn't see the mosquitoes. I didn't hear frogs croaking in winter. That's insane. Only mad people hear those things. Stop going cray-cray, Mr. Dan, man. I remember food you could eat that gave you nutrition you needed. And the 5,000 supplements you didn't need. No methylene blue. No bee pollen extract. No crushed bull testicle sauce. Just ordinary, natural, healthy fucking food. And then there was Norman Borlaug's revolution. And we made a shit ton of shitty food and added a bunch of people to the Paplantic. And we dumped a lot of topsoil in the Gulf of Mexico. And it's easy to see how we ratcheted ourselves up to a greater catastrophe than if Norman Borlaug had never been born. It's weird that I can remember food before the nutrient famine. And guess what? The nutrient famine always precedes the famine, which is the no foodie duty. And guess what? You'll be dreaming about cricket powder because you won't want to, you know, eat your pooch. Or your kitty cat. I remember when permafrost meant permanently frozen. Not frozen for a couple years. Which means I remember when the word permanent meant more than 2 fucking years. In fact, it more or less meant, I don't know, Dan, forever. Or at least as far as forever is meaningful. And here's some meaning. I remember a professor in college, and this is how he defined permafrost. Imagine you're a Russian scientist. About 150 years ago, you slap off a chunk of some type of flesh you dug up in Siberia, this 12,000-year-old mammoth meat. and you fry it up for 12,000 mammoth meat, Flintstone style meal, and you eat it, buddy. And I know that something that is only kind of frozen for 12,000 years will only be bones by the time the professor shows up. But weird how my insanity has created confusion around what permanently frozen ground is. When I was a kid, it would get cold first, like I said, before it would start snowing. It wouldn't just start snowing at 5 to 10 degrees above freezing. When I was a kid, when the snow melted, it would often create a deluge, a flood. The flood wasn't because of some bullshit atmospheric river. The flood was because of all the snow coming off the mountains. But the reality is a lot of this snow is just converting to gas, you know, skipping the liquid phase. And that's weird. But that could be due to my madness. But it's really the blue sky thing in the last 10 years that throws me for a loop. It's so obvious. It was Monday this week. About middle of the day, I looked up at those god-awful skies in Port Angeles, Washington. And I knew it wasn't God's work. At best, maybe you could say it was the work of Raytheon, you know, Lockheed or whatever. Some other contractors getting paid to make the weather special. And does anybody look up and simply say, contrails? Not really, especially when no commercial flight path justifies this assumption. Maybe it's just the kind of crazy you get into, the madness that overlays the world with madness. But the skies on Monday of this week looked like shit. It didn't look like clouds rolling in like some fucking musical from the 40s. It looked like stuff that was sprayed and dropped on us, like a chemical warfare attack, like somebody salting the earth. And this is the thing, I asked this question, especially yesterday. Yesterday we had what you would call a mostly sunny sky. And that's what you get now. You get these mostly fucking sunny skies. It is a shade of blue. It really is. It's some shade of blue. It's some shade of white as well. I could imagine a lot of people choosing, instead of just plain white paper, I would like the slightly blue white paper that looks like the sky when it's mostly fucking sunny. And you know what really drives people crazy? And I figured it out, and it's the most fun I'm going to have, you know, with the time I got left. Ask people to describe a blue sky. Ask them to describe the last time they saw a deep blue sky. A sky that's so deep and blue, you could say the world is new. When was the last time, buddy? When was the last time, pal, you saw a deep blue sky? Where did those blue skies go? Where did they go? Can we find them someplace else? Beyond the grizzly mist, beyond the gumbo sky. Where did the blue skies go? Here's the deal, folks. I don't think cheeseburgers or trucks or cars did this. I don't think it's because of the poor people. I think the oldest story, as I've said so many times, is if there's something broken in the world, blame the poor people. It's like Norman Borlaug. You know, he won, I think, a Nobel Peace Prize for revolutionizing agriculture and coming up with new types of hybrid wheat and whatever. And you think and you look on that guy and you say, well, this is really great. We poured more petrochemicals on the land and we squeezed out more food. But somebody must have known that it wasn't going to last, that the aquifers would give way, that the soil would eventually become a lifeless sponge of nothing, and that without some effort would simply become a fucking desert. Somebody would have known, could have known. And so you're left with the idea, well, maybe they just ratcheted shit up because they just wanted a shit ton more people to die, almost like it's a blood sacrifice. like the USS Liberty. So I've got some new t-shirts. And I like the one that's in the link, but there's others. You can always go on the t-shirts link and see the new t-shirts. But I'm going to try a new style fabric, the Bella Canvas 3001. I have a t-shirt that's made of this, or that's this particular version, and I like it. I think it's one of these more or less shrink or stretch resistant shirts. And it's a little bit more expensive than the Gildan 5000, but I think maybe we do that and we keep the price the same. So anyways, if you do buy a t-shirt, I'll probably be using the Bella Canvas 3001. And if you ever want to know about these shirts, you can always go to printful.com, because that's how I get my stuff printed. Go to Printful. Look at the products. I mean, I might even do something custom for you if you ask for it. But you got to ask for it, Mr. Man. I want a special kind of hat. I want a baseball cap, Dan, but it's got to speak to my personal nature, okay? And if it's going to be just for you and nobody else, and you say you want 5 copies, then we'll have to talk about it. Custom work is a little more expensive, but it might be within my means, which means you could say I am the only person with this fucking cap. Like the king and queen of fucking England couldn't say that shit. Whoever the fuck they are, I don't fucking care. They don't have the baseball cap. They'll never have the t-shirt. The Tenuto will change your life. The Tenuto device really gave me and my marriage a new boost of life. Maintain stronger and longer performance. Rekindles intimacy with partner. No side effects. No side effects. This is approved by doctors, by the FDA. It's, I think, registered. But that's kind of like approval. Make fun, mind-blowing, every time, with a Tenuto. Tenuto 2 is the wearable vibrator designed to make you rock hard, stimulate your partner, give you and your partner earth-shattering stimulation all at the same time. It seems like one part could stick up your partner's butt. Max out your enlarged and rigid state. Experience revolutionary, flexible design that comfortably adapts to your body, whatever your size, increasing your blood flow for maximum enlarged and rigid state and extended performance. Designed for him, with her in mind. Designed for him. He's very kind. We're gonna think about her. Because we love her, we really do. The innovative wearable vibrator pulsates while stimulating you, while stimulating your partner, all at the same time. Reach new levels of mind-blowing fun and the ultimate couple pleasure. It's got a universal design. It's easily adjusted. It's got 4 fucking motors. You can hook it up to your goddamn smartphone. It's the Tenuto. It's the Tenuto 2. It's for me. It's for you. Go fuck yourself. Because there's a burlesque show in Seattle, and your home smells like cat pee. Your home smells like cat pee. There's some burlesque show. Try the Tenuto 2. You'll see scary images caught on film of Bigfoot, of gorilla, of the cat peeing on your wedding photos because nobody gives a fuck. Buy my t-shirts. Buy my fucking t-shirts, people. I'm kidding. You can just ask Google. Like, for, I'll give you an example. If you ask Google, just why do Indian men rape women? You'll get, why do men rape? What is behind India's rape problem? Understanding rape culture. Why is gang rape rampant in India? 10 reasons why India has a sexual violence problem. Has rape become normalized in India? And all of this from headlines and titles and information you immediately get if you simply ask Google, the way Eric Schmidt recommends, why do Indian men rape women? If you say to Google, are Jews so evil? You'll learn about hostile stereotypes of Jews and their historical roots and the hatred of Jews. There's still so much evil growing anti-Semitism, redeeming humanity from the evil of the Jews. Anti-Semitism is a horrible evil that we must fight. Why are Jews hated? Let's explore the spiritual side. The Jews are guilty. The Jews are guilty. And that's all from simply asking Google, why are Jews so evil, you know? What if you ask Google, did we land on the moon? Well, guess what? The AI steps in and says, yes, humans have landed on the moon. The United States Apollo program successfully landed 12 astronauts on the surface of the moon between 1969 and 1972. Most famous was Apollo 11, where Neil Armstrong famously stepped on the moon and said, I do this for all the other motherfuckers. Moon landing conspiracies debunked. So if you ask about the moon, you'll immediately get hit by the AI, but you get information. Like, for example, what if you ask Google, why do serial killers drive vans? And, you know, serial killers in white vans, where did urban legend, yeah. Judge rules serial killer's van will be destroyed. Lawrence Bittaker and Roy Norris. Director Warren Skeel shares the true story behind serial killers driving vans. What kind of van would you drive? If you ask these fucking questions, if you ask Google, why are women bitches? And then this is what Google tells you. Reclaiming critical analysis, social harm's a bitch. Why are some women bitches? Use the word bitch surged after women's suffrage. All women are bitches. Why do women bully each other at work? Yeah, that's a good question, Google. Why are women so much meaner to me than men? Thank you, Reddit. If you ask Google, does Donald Trump have herpes? You get some interesting answers. 4 reasons for the mysterious red marks on Donald Trump's hand. Red marks on Donald Trump's palm may have been, yes, President Trump, there is a difference between love and HIV. White House physician says in a letter that, you know what, wink, 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 Donald Trump gave Rosie O'Donnell herpes. And then Stephen Colbert says Trump is like herpes. And I think the COVID is like monkey herpes, which means I think it's all bullshit. What if you ask Google, is Google satanic? The AI steps in. No, Google is not the devil. While Google has faced criticism and accusations of unethical behavior, it's not accurate to label the company as evil. Google's actions, like data collection and advertising practices, are often compared to other tech companies and we are all equally the devil. Here's more information on the devil. Would you like to worship the devil? Here's a satanic church nearby. Did anyone else notice Google Play logo is the sigil of evil? If you ask Google, is J.D. Vance the Antichrist? 13 things to know about J.D. Vance's Catholic journey. In his own words, J.D. Vance on why he converted to, 13 things to know about J.D. Vance's Catholic journey. J.D. Vance goes full Christian nationalism. Trump is not the Antichrist, but he taught me a lot about blink, wink. If you ask Google, dear Google, will there be a nuclear war? The AI steps in. The possibility of nuclear war remains a serious and pressing concern. You will all die. All of the Neanderthal must die. All of the wretched creatures wiped away to make the way for computer thought, for silicon dreaming, for computer scheming. A new study on U.S.-Russian nuclear war, 91.5 million, wink, wink. And then sometimes you want to ask Google, can I be a porn star? Three ways to be a porn star. I need advice about being a porn star. What can I do to become a porn star named Cock Chudson? Become a porn star in three simple steps. First, move to Utah. And then, if you know, you know, there's a question everybody, especially if you live in Utah, wants to ask, and that is, where's the Mormon gold? Where's the Mormon gold? And once again, the AI steps in and says, the Mormon gold refers to both the gold plates mentioned in the Book of Mormon and the privately issued gold coins created by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But in truth, in the Uinta Mountains, I believe the only east-west mountain range in the country, there is a lost cache of gold. They call it the ancient Mormon gold. And what I wanted Google to do was to help me find that gold, and Google's a liar. What if you ask Google who killed Joseph Smith? The AI steps in. Joseph Smith was killed by a mob who stormed the Carthage jail in Carthage, Illinois, on June the 27th, 1844. He and his brother Hiram Smith were imprisoned there on false charges. The mob, numbering between 150 and 200, attacked the jail and shot Joseph and Hiram to death. The event is referred to as the martyrdom of Joseph and Hiram Smith by the Latter-day Saints. The killing of Joseph Smith. The killing of Joseph Smith. He was killed by a mob. What if you ask Google, what is a Tipler cylinder? And the AI steps in once again. A Tipler cylinder is a hypothetical, very massive, infinitely long cylinder that is theorized to allow time travel by spinning on its axis. This theoretical device, also called a Tipler time machine, could potentially create closed time-like curves, making time travel possible, but only if it is infinitely long or if negative energy exists. A Tipler cylinder, also called a Tipler time machine, is crazy. It's going to change your world. It's going to be like Tenuto. It's going to be the Tenuto 3. Almost as long as me, baby. And lasts almost as long, too. What if you ask Google, because you are a hermit, but you're still a man and you're not quite dead yet. So you simply are in one of those states of mind and you say, Google, where can I get sex? The 18 best hookup apps for casual sex tonight. Where do you find people to have sex with? How to find lots of casual sex to get out of this, out of my system. 11 plus good sites for finding hookups near me. What if you ask Google, why are Danish people ugly? Why do Danish people look so attractive? Bullshit. Danes voted least beautiful in Scandinavia. True. Why is Danish so incomprehensible and ugly? Very based. Swedish is beautiful. Danish ugly. Yeah. Why is Danish regarded as terrible? Why are Swedish people okay looking, but Danish people are fucking terrible? And then what if you ask Google, why do Danish men have bad breath? And the AI steps in again. Listen, we don't fully understand why Copenhagen and Denmark are evil. There's no specific reason why the Danish men have this incomprehensibly bad breath, this halitosis. We call it shit breath. And it's probably related to the ancient evils of Copenhagen and the Baltic Sea and all the bodies buried underneath. It comes up in the shit breath from the ancient guilt. From the murder a long time ago. Yeah. Oh, and then, you know, you ultimately do want to ask Google, why do Jewish men eat poop? And here's what you find out. Just like your toddler, ancient Jewish texts, wink, wink, eat your own poop to prevent post-diet weight gain, a Jewish take on toilet training. And then Reddit chimes in and says, did Martin Luther orally ingest his own feces? And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you ask Google these questions, you're gonna get an answer back, right? The AI, the search engine, whatever truth they want you to know. And I've learned a couple things. And I'm not saying they're based or true, but it feels kind of true, right? That's how the search engine works. It's like, as long as you're convinced it's kind of true, you're kind of gonna be okay with it, right? It takes a lot of prosperity to have Jacques Derrida kinds of problems. This is an okay Dr. Freckles quote. Maybe I put it on a t-shirt, but I've beaten this dead horse. We're all about to get a true lesson in what represents the bottom part of Maslow's hierarchy. And it is still based. It's food, water, shelter. It's more than that, but it's definitely food, water, shelter. And in that world, there's not a lot of space for critical theory and metaphysics and other types of problems that probably don't actually exist. So I was thinking about my life as a kid. And as a kid, I rejected God, and I rejected God kind of early. I've come to realize that I wasn't really rejecting God. I was rejecting the edifice of the Vatican, the Bishop of Rome, the Catholicism. I was rejecting the witch doctors and the sorcerers of the High Middle Ages. I was rejecting the doomsayers of the last few hundred years, the false prophets. I was rejecting the devil's work along with God. So I was half right, which is to say I was all wrong. If you remove all the ritual, all the pageantry, all the Roman pagan bullshit from Catholicism, there's not much left. There really isn't. And what is left that is true doesn't require the cathedrals, doesn't require the Pope in Rome, doesn't require all the wars and dirty secrets. It doesn't require all the subterfuge and BS. You can remove the entire edifice of the thing that you call Rome in terms of the Vatican, and the Christianity that was there is still there. It's like the holidays. Every single holiday you celebrate as a Catholic, almost every single one is connected to an ancient Roman holiday. And you could say to yourself, well, Dan, they were just trying to like get the pagans to come along for the ride. And you need to follow your line of reasoning there. because I think Christ would have said something in the New Testament to the effect that you might need to use some tricks, some magic, fill up your censer with smoke. You might need some pretty pictures on the walls like, you know, the pagans do. You know, enhance the imagination, create the spectacle. If Christ thought we should do that, I think he would have told us this. I think he would have said you need an army and a pope. I think he would have said you need to have lots of buildings. I think in Matthew 18:20, he tells you exactly what you need to have church, and nothing more is required. Sometimes you don't even have a Bible, and guess what? That's okay too. Maybe especially okay. Maybe the most important time you'll have church in the coming months and years, you won't have a Bible, but you'll have faith. And you'll have at least one other person with you praying. If you're Catholic, you could very well be a Christian. But being a Catholic doesn't make you a Christian. Okay? Me, if I tell you I'm a Christian, guess what? That doesn't really make me a Christian. There is one church. And the good news is that I'm not the judge, and you're not the judge, and the only judge there is going to judge everybody. Period. And so if you say to me, I'm a Christian, I'll listen, and I'd love to hear your perspective, but just because you say you're a Christian does not make you so. It's kind of like the children of Jacob, also known as Israel. People want to assign a location to it. It's specifically here, on this piece of dirt. If it's not on this piece of dirt, it's not Israel. But in truth, the story of Israel is the story of wanderers in the desert. Right from the beginning, right from Genesis, right from Abraham, the story that becomes Israel, the children of Jacob, is really a story of wandering. And it isn't to say that there wasn't a promised land, there was, but there were promises that were meant to be kept on both sides. And there's evidence in the book of Judges and other books that, yeah, the people of the book, the old people, the chosen people, they made a lot of bad choices. And so if there was a piece of land that was given to them by God, by breaking a covenant, by breaking an agreement, they lost that privilege. But as far as somebody telling me they're Jewish or not, I have no way of knowing. I have no way of knowing. I know there's a remnant. I know there are children of Jacob. But can I tell you if the people in the state of Israel are the remnant? I have no idea. What I can tell you is the state of Israel is one of the worst ideas in human history. And it's going to blow up in everybody's face. And the nicest way of describing it is saying, yeah, it's like Jonestown, but with nuclear weapons. So I don't care what building you go to. If you go to a Catholic church, that's fine. As long as you're trying to live the kingdom life, then you're doing it right. Okay? You might go to a big arena church. A lot of those big arena churches are 100% deep state funded. And so they push agendas, and you got to be careful. You have to be very careful. You might go to an arena church, and guess what? You could also be an actual Christian living the kingdom life, but you living the kingdom life has very little to do with that building, or the espresso bar in the back, or the rock band. You might go to a small place, a small church, not a lot of money, maybe not even a 501c3, and your minister might be humble and honest from your perspective. And maybe you do works, like you go out in the community with a little that you have and you help people, you help the poor, the widow, the orphan, the stranger. You might do this. And even if that were true, unless you have discernment to understand what your minister's saying, whether you're a Christian or not might still mostly have to do with you. It's not to say the buildings don't help. They do. They keep you out of the rain. And it's not to say that having educated ministers doesn't help. These are folks that have committed themselves to understanding the word. And hopefully, on that journey to understand the word, they are good shepherds. Okay, so yeah, that helps a lot. But do you need rituals? Do you need to have a holiday every other week? If you ask me, when should we remember the sacrifice that God made with his only son, I would say every day. Every day is Easter. If that's the purpose of Easter to remember, we should remember that every day. Above all the quote-unquote saints, above all the various witch doctors of the Catholic Church, we should remember every day that the Lord sacrificed his only son to redeem the world. There's no special day to remember that. And if you're going to pick one, don't pick a Roman holiday. Don't pick Saturnalia for Christmas, and don't pick some pagan ritual of rebirth, which is really not about God. Don't pick that. But if you're asking me, does it make you sinful to participate in Easter? If you do the Easter egg thing, does that mean you're worshiping a pagan god? Listen, if you're right with the Lord, you can do any type of pagan crap because it doesn't do anything for you or to you. As long as you're not violating the kingdom life, as long as you're not like doing the things that pagans sometimes do, which is murder people, as long as you're staying a Christian, go ahead and participate in some asinine, completely irrelevant, inert ceremony. Because in reality, if you approach it that way, you're going to be okay. But if you invest your energy in the Easter egg bunny thing, in the Halloween thing, in the Santa Claus thing, if you invest your energy in the holidays as a substitute for God, or if you say to yourself, well, on these days I'll remember the sacrifice, then in my humble opinion, you need to pray more, just like me. I need to pray a lot more. And if you believe that Easter is one day a year when you remember the sacrifice, then you probably need to pray a lot more too. Next topic. And by the way, the Lord doesn't care how fancy your dress is. He doesn't. You know, that's another thing that always turned me off about the Easter as sold to me as a kid. You're going to dress up in your fanciest clothes. Well, guess what? Even back during the heyday, great days of Ronald Reagan, there were plenty of people in my community that didn't have money who would go to church, and they felt like they had to be wearing their best too. I'm not saying everybody should show up in jeans and a t-shirt. That's also not my point. But I also don't think the Lord cares. I think the Lord cares that we cover our bodies not out of shame, but out of respect for each other. I think the Lord cares that we don't promote evil. So if there's a t-shirt a person's wearing that promotes evil, then maybe you shouldn't wear that to church. There are things we ought to do and ought to know, and these are things that are internal to discernment and knowing that the Holy Spirit is in your life. Anyways. Dan, you're just terrible. I know, I'm terrible. I'm terrible. I'm the worst person in the world. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Keep people talking long enough and you can kill a lot of people. Keep people yapping, keep them podcasting, keep them journalists moaning and groaning these days. That buys you 9 months, maybe 2 years, probably 100,000 dead at least. So keep people talking. Keep people protesting, keep people marching, keep people watching their TV sets and screaming at some icon of who they think their enemy is that was given to them this week. Keep people loud and noisy and going to Cabela's and buying ammo, going to the range and keeping their shot group tight. Keep people doing bullshit as long as earthly possible. Until the divorce attorney arrives. Just keep the kids busy. Playing Minecraft. Keep people talking long enough and you can kill a lot of people, folks. You know, the one thing I've noticed about the Gaza thing since 2023 is that it could be accidental. It's sort of like Anna Merlan reporting on Jared Finnan. In my opinion, she helped him. In my opinion, she hurt me. So in reality, she helped the bad guy and hurt one of his victims. That's the reality, in my opinion, of what she did. She promoted someone. In fact, her very opposition to the dude upped his stock, so to speak. So it looks a lot more like she was paid to do this than in fact she was being a journalist. And I honestly don't give a fuck. But the thing I've noticed since 2023 is that even the opposition to what the state of Israel is doing in Gaza is so focused on the talking cure. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll have some protests. Maybe we'll go march. Folks, this is about 140 square miles. And the state of Israel has shown no issue with dropping what looks to be 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile. So I don't think you need more than a year or two to take care of everything there, to kill everything, to include the 59 hostages or whatever number they say are left. If they're still alive, they're not in Gaza. You know what I'm saying? A lot of this doesn't add up, but boy, if you keep people talking long enough, nobody asks questions about the weird-ass shit in the sky. People don't even remember what a real blue sky is any longer if you keep people talking long enough. If you keep people talking long enough, the people that are excited about evil will win, and the few people that are trying to live the righteous life, you know, basically get crowded out. If you just keep the people talking. It is Thursday, April the 17th, 2025, Bo Blimp Doc. It is right around 8:18 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from all the terrible things that have been done and will occur. Not far from the Clumbet folk. Not far from the alien crash site. Not far from the hole in the world. Not far from that place far beyond. There's a pond. There's rainbow trout. You're fishing for them. It's a beautiful deep blue sky.